Podcast. This is your weekly film podcast, and with me, as usual, is my co-host Eric Sayor.
Hello.
And I am, of course, Arlen Haro, the founder of this ship. this is
the titular Haro.
Yes, that's right. Yes, the titular. We are little boys, that is true. This is a fairly simple episode. You don't even need to have watched anything for this one other than maybe some trailers. We are doing a sort of summer preview thing, and for anyone who's like, this isn't the summer, yeah, it is. The summer starts earlier and earlier now. It kind of starts in February in terms of movies, so the fact that we're doing this now means we're actually late to the party. But yeah, so we're starting with Friday the 13th of April, and we're going into possibly September, September, August, in and around that area. And before we start, any sort of opening thoughts on the summer, I guess, Eric?
I think last summer for me was one of the best as far as movies go.
Yes.
Like every time I went to see a movie, I was surprised by how good it was. Like even stuff like Atomic Blonde and Valerian that right. I had no hope for, I enjoyed a lot. So, and this year is looking honestly not as great.
Yeah.
Not a lot of big stuff I'm excited for. I'm excited for, I'm hoping for a few surprises.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And last year, I think it was so surprising because the year before was bad. Like, the year before was really bad. Like, it was Civil War, and then,
garbage after garbage.
Yeah, it wasn't until, like, late in the summer when a bunch of really good horror stuff started to come out. And most of that I watched, I wasn't even a fan of. It was just, like, the general consensus was some of that was really good. It was a really weak summer for me. So I know that last summer felt like an upswing for me as well. Even the movies that I didn't get to see till later, like Atomic Blonde, I didn't see that till much later, and I liked it quite a bit. The more I think about it, I even like it more. That's sort of our general thoughts on the summer. And I think the summer is usually hit and miss. Some summers are good, some summers are bad. My favorite summers are the ones where you have a couple indies in there that are also really good. And they sort of punctuate how They punctuate my feelings about the bigger movies, and they usually come at pretty good times. Good counter-programming and good main programming is what I want from the summer.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, the best film, like that 2015, that was really bad. 2016, I think, that was really bad. The best movie I saw the whole summer was Swiss Army Man, which was a great surprise.
Yeah.
Even though, like, five people walked out of that film in my theater.
Yeah, and even that, like, Viggo Mortensen movie from that same summer. Yeah. Even that was good, you know, it was good enough, so at least interesting. So stuff like that actually did make that summer at least interesting to look back on. But anyways, all this looking to the past gives you context for what we are talking about now. And as I said, we are starting with Friday the 13th, the eponymous Friday the 13th. I guess we'll just start chronologically. The first one on the list supplied to us from Box Office Mojo, because this is the most complete list I could find that I did edit a little bit. First one I have is Borg versus McEnroe, which stars Shia LaBeouf as John McEnroe. And I don't remember who they cast. Stellan Skarsgård as I don't know his first name, but Borg.
No, it's Sverrik Gunnarsson.
Oh,
Stellan Skarsgård is playing I think his trainer or Ooh. Someone else, but Sverrik Gunnarsson is playing Bjorn Borg.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was confusing Alexander Skarsgård. That's why I thought that made sense.
Yeah.
Now that I remember who Stellan is, that makes no sense whatsoever.
That's one movie I've been hearing about for a few months. I think it was like at Sundance last year, so more than a year ago.
Yeah,
and
same.
I think I'm always down for Shia LaBeouf stuff, especially recently. At first, I wasn't like I like him when he does stuff that isn't a blockbuster, and then he gets to do really weird, interesting performances. Like I don't know if you saw American Honey a couple of years ago.
No, but it's on my list.
Yeah, that's a really great Shia LaBeouf performance, and I hear he's great in this film, so I want to see it just for that.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, and Shia LaBeouf in his later career has become at least interesting. Like, you can say all you want about some of the films, some of the final products, but he at least is always doing something that's kind of fun to watch. He's the best part of the David Ayer movie Fury. He just blows that movie away. So he's always interesting to watch, and I'm down for just about anything. Whether I'll be seeing this in the theaters, that's one thing. I do have Movie Pass, so that helps. But we'll see. I'm interested in it, though. Interested to see.
Yeah, me too. That's one I'll probably just watch when it comes to on demand.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely.
Let's move on to the first real summer blockbuster.
Yep.
The only reason why we started so early in April.
That's right. Big meets bigger, as they've said in the trailers. Rampage. Come on, guys. Come on. You know you're going to this. You know you're going to this. I'm in. I've been in since Fast and Furious 6 on The Rock, and I'm just riding this train till it eventually rides off a cliff.
I had seen a trailer at first, and I was like, yeah, it looks all right. I don't really care. And then I saw a trailer before Pacific Rim last night, and I was with my friend who loves those kind of really big, stupid movies, and his enthusiasm got me in. Like, I'm in. This is going to be the best video game adaptation of the year.
Probably. Here's the thing. This might be the best one ever, period. Which is amazing. But it might say something about what you should do with video game adaptations, and that maybe simpler is better. Because my understanding of Rampage is that it's a very simple story, and it's just amazingly simple, and it seems like they're adding a lot of the story to it. So I'm interested to see how good it is or isn't, but it looks fun, and that's the most important thing about this for me. It looks incredibly fun. And again, like The Rock, I'm in for anything he's in. They gave him a good supporting cast member in Naomi Harris. She's great in just about everything that I've ever seen her in. So that definitely lends to how good the movie will probably be. Again, it just has to be fun. That's like the least that it has to do. And if it can do some more, that's great too, I guess. Any sort of final thoughts, I guess, on Rampage?
I want to see the big ape punch a crocodile.
Same. That's all I want to. Here's the thing. They're getting to that before Godzilla versus King Kong, which feels like a calculated move, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we'll get, like, a rehearsal for that. And it will be interesting how they have to raise how they have to raise that and what they do to counter that, because that's it is the same studio, I believe, also, which makes it even more. Or no, it's Warner Brothers. We'll see. Moving on to a movie that is from Universal Studios, the best It Follows knockoff that I've ever seen. Anybody who's seen the trailer for Truth or Dare, it's a Blumhouse horror movie, so it could go either way. It could either be really bad or it could be really good. And the basic premise is the game of Truth or Dare is haunted, and it talks to you through many different means, no defined mean, and basically if you don't accept the truth or the dare, if you don't do what you're dared to do or tell the truth that you're dared to tell, or that you're supposed to tell, then the game kills you in a way that is related to your dare or somehow related to the truth.
I was sure that this was like another movie about the truth or dare game that goes that get mixed up in the comedy, which was stars Jason Bateman. So I'm kind of mixed up those truth or dare movies. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Right, that's a game night. That's the one that's game out nights, right now.
Yeah. Okay, no, I was mixing up those two. Yeah, this is from the director of Kick-Ass 2, which also could go both ways.
Yeah. I couldn't even finish Kick-Ass 2, and I really enjoy Kick-Ass 1 quite a bit, so that says a lot. Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I saw it in theaters.
I don't think I'll see it in theaters, but I might catch it on demand on HBO, perhaps. Yeah.
Unless it gets like really good reviews.
Right. If it gets, you know, if it gets the same, even the same reviews as the one about the girl who's living Groundhog Day, Happy Death Day. If it gets even as good reviews as that, I will probably give it a shot because that movie was getting just insane reviews for a PG-13 horror movie. So we'll see. But chances are I'll be waiting for home release to give this a shot. If anybody's like, I like that idea and I like the concept, go watch It Follows. It's 2 years old and it, guess what? It still holds up.
Yes.
All right, moving on. First comedy we have on this list is I Feel Pretty, starring Amy Schumer, who's one for one for me. I really, really like Trainwreck. I thought it was very smart and very clever when it came out, and I couldn't even get through the movie she did with Goldie Hawn. This movie, the trailer didn't sell me. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it.
I saw a bit of the trailer. The problem with me is that I don't like comedies, and I don't especially like this kind of comedy. I'm not... Even Trainwreck, which I couldn't get through it just because I knew it was good and I was enjoying it, but I just get bored so fast of a movie that are just mostly intended just to make you laugh, and I don't know, I don't like laughing that much.
Yeah, I don't. And also, so the problem with this movie is that it feels like a recycled movie, kind of. There was a Jack Black movie from like the early 2000s that was the same thing, and you can do the same movie twice and get good results. It's possible. But I don't see the jokes landing that hard, really. I'm not excited for it. So, again, this is one that I will probably be waiting for home release. And moving on to another comedy. Have you seen the original Super Troopers at all? Is that on your radar?
I was planning to watch it before the sequel, just to have an idea what the hell people are talking about. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea what it's about.
It is... The best way I can describe it is it's Clerks, but with Highway Patrolmen, but far goofier. That's the first one, at least. And it's the slobs versus snobs idea, you know, but to these highway patrolmen. And the first movie, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but I've seen it, the first movie is charming, and it has a very interesting cast, and the cast is very funny, and all those things. But this is kind of a Zoolander situation, where they're finally getting this sequel years later to a movie that was not successful but has a large fan base. And I don't see this going any better than that did. Because that turned out very badly. So I don't really have high hopes for this one. And I don't think I'll ever see it, really. I think I will just skip it straight out. Even though I do enjoy the first one, so... Yeah.
I have no idea why this movie exists. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it's
it is.
Anyways, the next one, Traffic. So have you seen the trailer for this film at
I've
all?
read about it, about the film. I don't really watch trailers unless they're playing before movies,
Right.
which probably doesn't help in the movie preview episode. But this by the premise alone looks pretty cool.
It is. Okay, so I saw this before Unsane, okay. Which is quick diversion. That's a really interesting movie.
I'm going to see it this weekend. So.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out if you're super into film and, you know, and behind the scenes stuff. And it's filmed on an iPhone either 6 or 7, I can't remember. You can tell, but it's fine enough. But it's definitely interesting to watch at least. And the trailer showed before that, and I was intrigued by the end. It's got Luke Goss. And for anybody who doesn't know who that is, he is in Blade 2, and he is in Hellboy 2, playing virtually the same character in both films, which is a big problem I have with Hellboy 2. So yeah, he plays that character in those movies, and he's very good in those movies. I will give him that. He was like a pop singer in England. But yeah, he's an interesting villain. Omar Epps, anybody who ever watched House, or I think one of the Nightmare on Elm Streets, you know who he is. I can't remember the female lead quite off the top of my head for some reason.
Paula Patton. She's from...
Right.
Two Guns and Warcraft.
Yes. And Mission Impossible 4. And she's actually good in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, she's good in that.
Yeah, and this is sort of like a Taken... kind of thing, I guess. It's definitely like a castle defense type movie, kind of. You know, people come to the house, they want to get into the house, and action ensues. And then the bad guys are sex traffickers, which is an interesting real world topic to tackle on film. So I'm interested in it on that level. And the action does look good. Like, it looks very well done, and it looks very real, and none of the acting seems bad, necessarily. Some of the bad guy henchmen are questionable. But it doesn't look like an entertaining movie. I may watch it on video on demand, HBO, whatever. I don't know about theaters, but it definitely seems like something that I do want to check out eventually. I'm not completely unsold on it.
Feels like the kind of movie that's going to come out like 2 months later in Canada. And
yeah, probably. Oh, it might just go straight to VOD there. It's weird how things work. Yeah. Okay.
Let's move on to the big one, the first big one.
Yep. Okay. This is one that I might have to do two reviews of this. We might just do an episode on it here, because Avengers Infinity War, it's coming out a week earlier than we thought, and every trailer I watch gets me more into it, and I usually don't watch trailers this late in the game. I normally stop after the first one. Occasionally I'll watch the second one, but after the first one I'm usually done with it. And everything I'm seeing just makes me more and more curious, because I can't put together the plot of this movie. Like, by the time I saw the second trailer for Civil War, I was able to put together most of the pieces and figure out where everything was. You know, I was able to figure out that the airport scene is in the middle, probably. And I was able to place where the Bucky Cap Iron Man fight was. This one, I have no idea when any of this is happening.
Yeah, it feels like they're using the same marketing as they've done for the last couple of Star Wars film, of doing great trailers that make you want to watch it, and that gives you no idea what's going on actually. Like, you can try to piece it together, but you don't really know the first teaser and the first trailer, which I found really cool. There's gonna be like 50 superheroes on scene.
Yep.
And it's gonna be incredibly exciting and fun to see in theaters. And I can't, like, I feel like we're both gonna love watching this film, and
Yep.
on the first time at least.
Definitely, definitely. And it will, and I will watch it many times and tell you about how it is after multiple watches. But I'll watch it, I don't know, at least 6 times probably, after it comes out. I'll probably watch it right before Avengers 4 because they continue to say that it isn't a part 2 or a part 1, part 2 situation when it very obviously is. And I don't believe them for a second that they are unrelated to each other. So I probably will need to watch it before then, just for plot sakes, for plot's sake. But yeah, like I know what you mean though. Like, first watch of all the Marvel movies, I have loved them. Like, Guardians 2 is a movie that the night that I watched it, I was super into. And then every time I think about it since then, I like it less and less. And that's how I am with most of the Marvel movies. Some of them I still like quite a bit, and those are the best ones. I watched Thor twice in the last week, the most recent one. So that says something about that film. So some
Yeah,
of
I'm the same.
these.
I always love watching them in theaters because I go. We both do the same thing. I feel like we go first opening night. Everyone's a fan. Everyone's excited. People clap and cheer, and it's always a fun time. And this one is gonna be the maximum of that.
I don't know what else to say about Infinity War other than I again I'm excited. And I'm
Thanos just looks kind of dumb.
yeah. Thanos,
Kind of, yeah.
Thanos has always looked dumb though. So
Oh, yeah,
it's
sure,
like
sure.
I've always thought that his whole design seemed really stupid. And I think that they're doing a better job of making him look realistic, which is something that's kind of important, but he looks like those fake articles that are on the sides of websites. It's like five characters you will never believe that they put on screen, and it's like a photorealistic Frieza or whatever. That's what it looks like to me. So that's how kind of like silly it is. It's like he should be more cartoony and less realistic and anatomically correct. And it's kind of unnerving to see that. So yeah, I'm interested to see how they use him because the stories that you hear about him are weird. Like that he's the main character of the movie, that it's his origin story, which makes me think that we're gonna get like an hour of the movie that's about who he is, and like because we saw flashback scenes of him and Gamora. Which is very interesting, and I don't know if that's just like the opening 10 minutes of the movie, which is something that they do. They like to do flashbacks lately, or if that's something that's throughout the film of them flashing back to who Thanos is, to sort of give context for why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, because Marvel has had the villain problem always, except especially when it's a big CGI villain. So I feel like giving him a backstory makes sense, especially if it's like we imagine a two-parter.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I'm interested to see how that works out. Okay.
I think I'd skip the next one and go straight to Tully.
Tully. Yeah, okay, so Tully is it's the Jason Reitman movie, starring Charlize Theron. And Mark Duplass and a bunch of other people. The Tully character is played by the star of *Halt and Catch Fire*, which is a show that I really love. So it's an interesting group of people in the movie that so it makes it intriguing to me on that level. But Jason Reitman has not he's not had the most success in his last few films. A lot of them have not been doing very well. After Up in the Air, it's sort of been a crapshoot, a lot of the time. But this is him. This is him. This is Theron. This is Diablo Cody, sort of reuniting after Young Adult, which is a movie that I really like. So I'm interested to see if he's able to make something that I'm interested in again. and if he's able to connect with other audiences as well.
Yeah, I really hope so, because I really like Up in the Air and Juno and Thank You for Smoking. And this looks, on first glance, like I watch anything with Charlize Theron. Almost at this point, she's one of the few actors or actresses I'll do that for.
Right.
And yeah, this looks, I'm very much intrigued, and it's been getting really good reviews from festivals. So I think I'm like, if I get a chance, I watch it in theaters, or if not, I watch it when it comes out on demand. Like, it's definitely on my list.
Yeah, definitely. Again, I have MoviePass, so I might go see it in the theaters if I have nothing else to do that week, or if I'm just feeling bored. But the May 4th, I don't know, I might see Infinity War again, so who knows. But yeah, I'm definitely interested to see. If I hear great reviews, that's another thing that will go towards my spending the cash to go see it in a big screen. But it's interesting. Yeah. Okay, so skipping quite a bit ahead to my birthday, actually. Deadpool 2.
Yeah. A good birthday movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. It's better than Alien Covenant, which I had the pleasure of seeing last year. Eric is laughing because he's the only one who's read my review that I never published of Alien Covenant, so yeah.
You should have published that. It was a good review.
I should have.
It made me want to never watch this film like I am. I still haven't. Like, it's on HBO in my queue, but I'm probably never going to get to it.
That's good to know. I'm glad that I saved somebody's soul. But anyway, this is another Fox release. Hopefully this isn't a pattern with them of shooting me in the face on my birthday. But Deadpool 2. I'm excited for this, partially because Deadpool was not a movie that I was... The first Deadpool was not a movie I was excited for. I saw it because I knew that the rest of the world was going to see it. And,
yeah, exactly.
And that I should see it, so I'm not spoiled. And I was pleasantly surprised by what I got. It's a movie that's very charming. It has a really good love story, I will say. Marina Baccarin is really good.
It's a great romantic comedy.
Yes, definitely. And the jokes per minute is so high that it's like, if you didn't laugh the entire time, well, then the jokes just didn't work on you and you're dead inside, probably. But
there are enough jokes that you'll find at least some funny, like really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of the ones that don't work really, really don't work. But it was a movie that was surprising to me, and because it was so surprising, and the team behind it is a team that I really like. They also wrote Zombieland, the original Zombieland, which is a movie that I have a genuine affection for. All of that adds up to me being excited for this next one, but also I will understand if it is bad. I will be completely like, yeah, that makes sense. I get it.
But honestly, it's a David Leitch film, and he's 2 and 2 for me. So I, like, my biggest problem with the first one was that the action scenes and all that were kind of bad, like not...
Yeah.
Or very felt very sparse. Like, it's the one part where the budget really showed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one is going to get the budget it needs, since the first one made so much money.
Right.
And it has a director that we know can direct very good action scenes. So
that,
excited to see how and if he can bring comedy to those action scenes. Like, making action scenes look good and at the same time be funny.
Right. And I do think it helps that Ryan Reynolds is a producer on this movie. So I think that's going to go a long way. And I think bringing up the David Leitch point is good, because as many problems as I have with Atomic Blonde, the action's great in that movie. It's stellar. And Deadpool 2 will at least be good on that level. It'll at least be fun and interesting. So that does go a long way. If it can be a better version of the Hitman's Bodyguard, then that goes a long, long way towards the movie being great. So yeah. And I think that's a good example, would you say? Because it's a very similar thing.
Yeah, exactly. Hitman's Bodyguard was a surprisingly competent film. Like, I was expecting to watch something bad and just to deal with my hangover, and it was funny and had like some cool action scenes,
right?
And was pretty enjoyable. And I can't imagine, like, if it's, like you said, if it's at least as good as that, we'll have a good time watching it.
Yeah, definitely. All right. okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, there's another Star Wars movie coming out. I'll say this. Assuming I know my music terminology well enough, the bass line from the Solo trailer that came out is very good. That bass line is very good, and it's been stuck in my head for weeks. Whenever I see the trailer, it's stuck in my head. It's a great bass line. That's all I have to say about this. Other than Donald Glover looks great, I will say that. He looks great, and the casting looks great.
And the film looks really well shot. I think it's from... what's his name? Bradford Young?
Yeah. Who I believe shot Moonlight?
No, he shot Arrival.
Oh, yes, that's right. But yeah, he's a great, great cinematographer. And he's one of the best in the business right now, I will say that. That does give me some hope for this movie, I guess. At least being visually interesting. And that's something that I do like about these one-offs, is that they always look interesting. Rogue One is the most visually interesting Star Wars movie I've probably ever seen, other than maybe Last Jedi.
I was gonna say it was until I saw The Last Jedi.
So, yeah, it'll be good on that level. But like, I have no hope for this movie. And I'm so tired of hearing news stories about it. Also, like,
I'm so scared, and I'm. I hate that I'm not excited for this film.
Yeah.
Because I love Star Wars. There's no movie franchise. There's no franchise that I love more than Star Wars.
Right. Yes.
And for the last few movies, I've always been incredibly excited. Even the prequels, I was young enough that I was incredibly excited for each one coming out.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in my lifetime I'm not excited about a new Star Wars film.
Right. This is because we're about the same age, give or take, and I remember going into Revenge of the Sith and being so excited for it and not being let down at all, really, because I was young enough, and I watched the new Star Wars movies because they're new Star Wars movies. Like, that's the only reason that really even happened, and also knowing that Rian Johnson, because he signed on before Force Awakens had even come out, so that gave me, you know, an extra reason to get invested. And then Force Awakens was good. I really, really like Rogue One more and more as I think about it and as time has gone on. I like Last Jedi more as I think about it more, and I'm kind of itching to rewatch it. So the fact that after, to me, like a 3-movie streak of, like, competent to great movies, this one being bad is just like a real sucker punch.
Honestly, we could be wrong. Everyone could be wrong.
Right.
Like, it could be good. You know, it could be okay. I'm trying to make myself not sad by thinking of, I don't like being sad while thinking about Star Wars. It sucks.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I want every movie to be good, if I'm honest. Yes. I want them all to be at least good. And this one, maybe it'll at least be fun, kind of. And again, like, the cast might save this movie, even if the story is kind of meh. But I don't know. I'm very worried about this movie and what's going to happen with it. Yeah, so that was us on Star Wars. Do you have any final thoughts on that?
I like that guy in Hail Caesar. I won't even try to say his name because I remember there's a bunch of ELNDs and that's
Right.
it.
Yeah,
But
the most German name that I've ever heard.
yeah.
Here's the thing, like knowing his casting, that was one of the things that got me excited early on.
Yeah, me
Also,
too.
like
It's the first, because at first I was very like when they announced the Han Solo film, I was already not excited. That's the worst idea I've heard for one of those like extended universe movies. But yeah, his casting was a great choice for me, especially just after watching Hail Caesar.
Right.
But then we started hearing the rumors that he's not a good actor and all that stuff. And then Ron
Right.
Howard came on, and I wish we hadn't heard, because honestly, I did like the trailer. Like, not it's not a great trailer, but I did like it. It made me want to watch the film. If I hadn't we hadn't heard all those like rumors and bad news and the change of director and all that, I think still be excited for the film. And I think I'm just gonna try to do my best to go with an open mind and
Yeah.
try to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think I'll be doing the same thing. It's just like, I'm not gonna see this one opening night. I've done that for the last three Star Wars movies. Like, it's been winter, so I've driven in like a foot of snow to get to previous Star Wars movies. I almost crashed my car getting to Force Awakens because that's how much I wanted to see it before everybody spoiled it for me. There was a real like level of effort I was willing to put in to the previous three Star Wars movies, and this one it's like I'll see it eventually.
No, it's one of the movies I'll be watching. Like, it's a Star Wars film. I can't not watch it as soon as it comes out. I'll be there
Right.
on Thursday night for sure.
Yeah,
Who am
yeah.
I kidding?
Well, I mean that's good. I'll at least be able to like, so was it? How was it? And you'll be like, go watch it. Or you'll be like, don't watch it, you'll hate it. So that'll be nice. So let's go to the next thing. What do
Yeah,
you
I
want to
think
go
we.
to?
Yeah. I want to just mention Hereditary. It's an A24 horror film. It got like in so much praise at Sundance,
Yep.
and A24 has been really good, releasing mostly good movies, especially in the last couple of years. So I'll watch almost anything they put out,
Yeah.
and if it gets good reviews, especially.
Yeah. Even after the disappointment for me of It Comes at Night, I'll still watch anything they put out. Like, eventually, I'll get to it. And this is one that I will see in the theaters. This is one where I'm like, I'm in. I'm going. It looks scary. The cast looks great. They got, I can never remember the actor's name, but they got somebody who. I think they got someone to come out of retirement, Gabriel Byrne. He doesn't do anything anymore. I can't even remember the last thing he did that was worth noting. I thought he was dead, actually. The fact that they got Gabriel Byrne to sign up for a horror movie, that's amazing. Like, there must be something interesting in that movie if he signed up. And again, as far as I know, came out of retirement to do this movie. So that goes a long way towards me being interested in this and where this is going. Because he really doesn't do that much anymore. He does a few things here and there. So that makes me curious about it. So the next thing we have is
You
Ocean's
wanna,
8 is also
yeah,
coming out.
yeah. You wanna talk about a movie I'm excited about solely on the cast? That's Ocean 8. I like everyone in this film.
Yeah, same. I can't think of anybody who annoys me, really. Or.
Even Rihanna has been like, she his her first film was Battleship, I think, and she was like pretty.
Yeah.
That's I haven't even seen that, but she was in Valerian and she was really good in Valerian. So
Yeah. I don't think Battleship was her fault. Also,
yeah,
I've seen it. It's not her fault. It's not her fault at all. That director was way out of his comfort zone, and he should not have been directing that. That movie is, it's the best example of a movie put together by committee.
So, Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Mindy Kaling, Lana Bonham Carter.
She's the only one who I'm like, but she's not with Tim Burton or Johnny Depp, which goes exactly. a long way for me. Because outside of Sweeney Todd, I don't like her when she's with Johnny Depp or Burton. Aside from Bellatrix Lestrange, which is just the laziest thing she's ever done. But otherwise, she's great in any role that she's in, really. So, yeah, she doesn't detract from the movie. And there's a lot of people that aren't even in the trailer. Olivia Munn, who is interesting. Dakota Fanning is in the movie. Matt Damon is in it, apparently, which is kind of a spoiler. Also, if you watch the trailer, there's something that they suggest about the events of what's his name? Who's Danny Ocean? I can't remember. How am I forgetting?
George Clooney?
George Clooney's character. There are things about his fate in the trailer that are answered that I did not expect to see there.
That's honestly hilarious for me. It makes me even like, I like the movie preemptively just because they just did that. They just killed him.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good choice. And also it's like I'm not going to be in this, even in a cameo. I'm done. No thanks.
Directed by Gary Ross, who has been directing films since like before I was born. So
yeah. He's the only question I have, because he directed the first Hunger Games, which is the worst Hunger Games.
You think so? I think my favorite Hunger Games is the first half of the first one.
Interesting. I do not like that movie. I don't like that franchise in general.
Really. Oh, no, I don't either, but I think the first half of the first one does a lot of imagery and visual stuff that's really interesting. Then it gets into the action and it gets bad.
Yeah.
But that first half I really like.
I do like the first half. It's the follow through that I don't like. Yeah, and then the second one is fun. I'll say that, and it's fun in the best ways. And then the third one is boring as hell. I didn't even watch the fourth one. That's how much the third one was.
I watched like half the third one and stopped there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you seen Free State of Jones?
No, I haven't. Which is another one where it's like I remember that, and I remember nobody liking it. So that's. That puts me off a little bit. But I'll watch this because the cast is so good.
Yeah, exactly.
And Soderbergh is producing, I believe. So that helps quite a bit. If we want to move on, we got...
Incredibles 2?
Yep. I'm in. I don't know. I'm interested. Definitely.
Yeah. I think Incredibles is a really great film.
Yep.
One of my favorite of Pixar, like top three, top five, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
This looks... I wish this was something else. Like, I wish this movie took place like 40 years after the first one, not like 5 minutes. But, I don't know. Yeah. Brad Bird has made some great films. He's made some...
Right.
Not so great films.
Yeah, some films that you've compared to other films that are much better. Brad Bird he's inconsistent. That's fair to say. Yeah. I think it's fair to say he's inconsistent. Here's the thing. I did not hate Tomorrowland. I hated the last act of Tomorrowland quite a bit, and I hated the ultimate message of that movie. But I did not think that that was a badly made film. It was just like dreadfully boring at certain points, and it just, I didn't see the point of it. in parts. But like, I really like Ghost Protocol, and I really like all of his animated movies, and he's, as far as I'm concerned, he has killed it in all of his animated movies.
Yeah, and even like yeah, he was 4-4 until Tomorrowland for me. So I hope he goes back to his strong horror film. Not horror, animated. Sorry.
Yeah.
Strong animated films, and I hope it's great. Like I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna cry probably like I do for most Pixar films.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it should be. If there's any problems I have, it's that the plot looks exactly the same, which is a problem that comedies have, where they make the same movie twice and then they just expect that to be good enough. If I have a problem with it at all, it's that. But otherwise, I'm into it. I have to watch it for Phantom Zone, so that's a thing that's going to have to happen. And I believe there might be maybe somebody else joining us on that review. Possibly, we'll see. I don't know. So yeah, that'll at least be interesting. Okay, let's move on to let's fly through the rest of these.
I just want to talk a bit about Tag because just the have you seen anything about this film?
Yes, yeah. I've seen the trailer. It looks fun. I'll say that.
I just heard one story about this film. It's like based on a true story about a family of that played Tag. For years, for like 20 years or something, and I one of the guys I think was on Twitter writing about or in an interview writing about or telling the story about how at their father's funeral they were still tagging each other, which I loved actually. And the cast is like pretty Ed Helms and John Hamm and Jeremy Renner, who sucks, but Hannibal Buress. It looks like a film that could be really fun.
Right, and aside from Jeremy Renner's jokes aside, he looks perfect for that role. He looks really perfect for that role. So I'm definitely I'll definitely watch this, and I might see it in theaters.
So when I say he sucks as a person. I don't like he can be really good in movies, but. Yeah.
Oh no, he's a terrible person. Just awful. Oh yeah. Really awful. Bad guy. As far as everything that I've heard about him, just not good. Did you not want to do Superfly? Did you see the trailer for that?
No, I haven't seen the trailer for that. That's why
I'll also just say this. It's a very good trailer. It's one that I would actually suggest after this go watch it because you might be into it. You might not. I don't know. But it's. Knowing what I know about it, I'm interested in it. Reboots of an old, like, dead franchise don't usually work out. More often than not, they're a dung heap. But check out the trailer if you haven't seen that.
Okay, and... Yeah, I feel like that's the kind of movie I need the trailer to convince me, so I'll watch it after this show.
Fuck Jurassic World. We're not talking about it.
I have to see it because my girlfriend loves dinosaurs. That's my fate.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever see it because I saw the first one 3 times because I was like, maybe I'm wrong, maybe everybody else is right. Nope, not at all.
I was hoping for us to do a Jurassic Park episode before it came out, but I guess you're not that excited.
No, I mean we can do a Jurassic Park episode. I'm into that. But not... now let's move on to a sequel that I actually am kind of into. Sicario 2. I'm super into this. On an artistic level, meh. This looks like a fun action movie. Yay. So I'm into it.
Yeah, exactly. I want it to be, like, good action. I want to be entertained. It's not going to be Sicario. It's never going to be Sicario.
Right. And Josh Brolin and Del Toro will at least be entertaining to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
So that goes a long way.
It looks like a film that doesn't really get why the first one was so good, but
yeah, it's like they took the crossing scene, the crossing scene, and they said let's just make a movie out of that, which isn't a bad idea, I guess, but it's not. Quite what the first movie was, but I'm interested to see what they do with this, and if this can elevate above what it looks like, I will be surprised. Did you see the Uncle Drew trailer or not?
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, if You don't like comedy, so maybe don't watch it, but it's actually a very funny trailer. I watched it, and I was won over by it, so that's all I'll say on that. Ant-Man and the Wasp, y'all know what's going on here. I'm going to see this. I'm going to see it opening night.
Uncle Drew is the basketball movie.
Yes.
all those basketball players.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Maybe I'll get high and watch that with my brother. He likes basketball.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I don't know if I'll see it in theaters, but I definitely will see it. Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. I don't know. The first Ant-Man was cool. I haven't rewatched it, and I don't really want to, except for those Eric Pena scenes, which are the... That's his name, right? Eric Pena?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah, except for his scenes, which are... he's the best sidekick in all of Marvel, more or less. Michael Pena. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I hope it's... If it's as good as the first one, I'll enjoy it. I'll never rewatch it, except in theaters. That's my Ant-Man take.
Yeah, I know. That's all I have to say on that. I'll watch it, I guess. Do you want to talk about the first Purge or not?
I haven't seen any of the Purges. Do you like them?
I did not like the first one at all, so no, I haven't seen any of them, but I've liked the concept of the Purge quite a bit. I just haven't really checked any of them out, so...
Yeah. I hear the first one is the worst, and after that, they get really more interesting and political, kind of. So, I don't know. I'm happy they made a successful horror franchise.
Yeah, yeah, about something that is at least interesting. Like,
I like watching the trailers. That's my Purge take.
That is fair. You know, entertaining trailers before a movie is a good thing. I'll say that. Skyscraper... What needs to be said about Skyscraper? That I'm glad Selma Blair is getting work. That's something that I'm genuinely happy about. I will watch this. I don't know when or how, but I will watch this. You know,
it will probably featuring me and a 40 of beer and this film.
Yes. Equalizer 2. I really like the first Equalizer, believe it or not. Like, quite a bit, more than I ever would have expected.
Should I watch that? Is it good?
It's at least entertaining. You would think that it would be very boring, but as I've said on this podcast before, Denzel Washington never phones in a performance, ever. So it's good on that level. Like, he is very good in it, and some of the kills are really great. So it's interesting on that level. So definitely check it out. I might be seeing this in the theater. I might wait. I don't know. That's all I have to say on that.
Okay. Let's move on to the one movie I'm the most excited about this summer, actually.
Oh, wow.
For me, that's the number one. Like, other than Infinity War, because I guess, that's what it is. But Mission Impossible Fallout looks... The trailer is incredibly good.
Yeah.
It's a sequel for what to me is like one of my... Like, Rogue Nation is one of my favorite action movies of the last few years.
Yeah, that's
understandable. I think Ralph McQuarrie... No, not Ralph.
No,
Christopher,
no.
Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah, Ralph is the Star Wars guy.
Christopher McQuarrie is a great... Tom Cruise director, because that's what he is.
Yep.
And I want that film. Like it.
Yeah.
It's honestly, the trailer hasn't, like, I was already excited, and the trailer made me even more excited. And I rewatched it it was playing in theaters last night, also, and I'm 10,000% in.
Right. So that movie does have a chip on its shoulder, in the shape of Henry Cavill's mustache. I will be taking out reparations for Justice League. But no, here's the thing. Now that I think about it, that is also It is also my second most anticipated movie of this summer, because I really liked Rogue Nation, and it's also Rogue Nation came out the same year as a little film called Spectre, which I despise. So it was, and I remember saying in that year, Rogue Nation, a better Spectre than Spectre. So this is a this looks like it's a direct sequel, and also what I love about Rogue Nation is. It took them 5 movies to figure out their formula.
Yeah.
And to figure out how to make a perfect Mission Impossible movie. And this looks like it's just continuing that track. And if it's at least half as fun and interesting as Rogue Nation, it will be worth the money, worth the time in the theater. So that's what I'll say on that,
and,
I guess.
And Christopher McQuarrie has been only improving in those films. Like, he did Jack Reacher, which was... the biggest surprise.
Yep. Yeah.
One of the biggest surprises I've ever had in theaters. And then Mission Impossible 5 that he got because he told Tom Cruise, "Oh, I have a good idea for for a Mission Impossible film." And then Tom Cruise made a phone call and then he got the film, and it's totally deserved. It's for me, it's his franchise now, and I just want him to do.
Yeah.
Bigger and better stuff, and I feel like this one is. I honestly hope that this one is gonna be the best one.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's skip around because we are going over time a little bit. Real quick, Christopher Robin, did you like that trailer? I guess that's the only question that I have.
I haven't seen it. I don't.
All right, it's a good trailer. I'm into it, but I don't know. It could be a bad movie. Who knows? Moving quickly. Meg, Jason Statham fights a giant shark. Do you need more? Do you need more than that? Is there more that you need to be entertained?
Is it just Jaws with Jason Statham?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And he's gonna punch the shark, I guarantee it, and I can't wait. Yes. I want him as his character from Spy, that's the thing. If it's his character from Spy, this will be the greatest film ever made. He's playing a scientist. That's the thing that makes it great. He's playing a scientist. The most cockney person on the entire planet is playing a scientist. So I'm into it. The Nun,
from the director of National Treasury. Let's go. Give it to me.
Yes, I know. And you've talked about this, that you actually like those movies. So, yeah. Okay, The Nun. I don't actually remember who's directing this, but it's a spinoff of the Conjuring movies. I haven't seen either of the Annabelle movies, but I've heard that the second one isn't bad. So maybe they figured out how to produce movies. I don't know. But The Nun was very scary in the second Conjuring movie. I love the Conjuring movies. So we'll see.
I love the first Conjuring movie. I'm too scared to watch a second. I need a night where I feel really courageous, and then I'll go through it.
That's understandable. That's
I watch one horror movie every 6 months because that's all I can handle.
Mm-hmm. The Nun fucked me up for a good week afterwards. So last movie we stretched into September just to include this one. The Predator. Shane Black is writing a Predator, directing a Predator movie with a fucking insane cast. The star of Moonlight. I believe... Who else was there?
Olivia Munn, Jacob Tremblay.
Yeah.
Jacob Tremblay, star of Room.
Yeah, Jake Busey, Thomas Jane, Keegan-Michael Key... Boyd Holbrook, Alfie Allen.
Allen from Game of Thrones, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's an insane cast. Yvonne this is a crazy cast. This is a star from Logan. This is someone from Moonlight. This is someone from, the Punisher. The Punisher is in this film. and, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, this is going to be an interesting movie. I'm interested to see what Shane Black does with The Predator.
After Nice Guys, after even Iron Man 3 that we talked about, I really like Christopher Bang Bang. He's been mostly really good.
And this is the first thing on this size that's R-rated. And that's a hard thing to do, like an R-rated action movie with this kind of budget. So, yeah, and it's a direct sequel to the original Predator, which is an interesting choice. So, yeah.
I need to watch that then.
Yeah, maybe you should.
shot by Zack Snyder's DP.
Hey, it'll at least look interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting is a good word.
Yeah. Zack uses a lot of color shading also, so you can't blame his DP. So that's...
Oh, really... he also shot Kong Skull Island. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
No, Kong Skull Island looks good as hell.
Yeah, it looks great. So yeah, it'll be an interesting movie. That's all we got. This is our summer preview, I guess.
Okay, I guess the things we're most excited for: Avengers, of course. Yep. No contest. Mission Impossible, let's go. And if you had to pick another one, what's the one you?
I mean, it might be Predator. There's another one that I'm really excited about, Predator, that's the other one. I mean, other than all the Marvel stuff, but yeah, like, yeah, this I is think... a fairly yeah. evenly distributed summer for me.
I think Ocean's 8 is the one I'm the most curious about. Like, it's the one I'll go see even if it gets bad reviews.
Yeah,
just because I want to see it.
Yeah, definitely. If you are listening to this and there was something that you think we really forgot and then we left out, we don't care because we're on a time crunch. But no, like, if there's something that you really left out, please feel free to contact us. AA Haro on all the places. Space Quando on Tumblr.
You're on Twitter. You can follow me and like my pinned tweet, because why? What else do you have to do with your life?
Right. Yeah. And this has been your Lost Horror podcast for the week. Bye.
Bye.